I can't think of a better way to open a service than with that song. Thank you, Shane. Somehow this Easter season has been extra meaningful for me this year. And it's been 4 weeks now, but I'm still thinking about it. Still thinking about what the death and resurrection of Christ means for us. And I'm just hoping that we get everything out of that we should. This morning, my title is The Wound That Heals the World. The title and the inspiration for this devotional are borrowed from Brian Zond and a message he preached around, it was just a week or two ago, around this Easter season. I'll start with a passage from 1 Peter chapter 2, just two verses 23 and 24. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Most everyone in our world would claim to have a very strong sense of justice. We may view right and wrong differently. We may disagree on what is right and what is wrong. But I think we can all, Christian or non-Christian, agree that evil needs to be dealt with. And we all have a part to play in bringing justice to the world. But then we need to be really careful and make sure that we are using the right system of justice. Because there are two systems of justice, at least two. See, nearly anything, including great evil, can be carried out in the name of justice. I think an extreme example of this is what we see in the Holocaust under Adolf Hitler. From my understanding of that, I don't think injustice was his goal. He had a vision for Germany, and he saw the Jews as a threat to German prosperity, and he blamed them for Germany's struggles. And so his vision for justice demanded that the Jews be dealt with. And we know that today is one of the greatest tragedies in history. Our world operates on a system of you harm me and I will repay. But what we see as repaying evil with justice, I believe, is what the Bible warns of repaying evil with evil. We see this worldly system of justice take shape early in the Bible, in the fourth chapter of Genesis. Here, a jealous man has to find someone to blame for his own lack. Rather than looking inward to find what is required to be acceptable to God, Cain finds a scapegoat. And as Brian Zond puts it, brother becomes other. I'm a farmer, he's a shepherd, and we'll always be struggling over land. Then other becomes enemy, and the enemy has to be dealt with. And so Cain kills his brother. From there, Cain moves east of Eden, fleeing the presence of God after God pronounces judgment on him. And there, he becomes the father of civilization. And so you see, civilization is birthed from retribution and violence. And this trend continues throughout history. In Revelation 6, we read about what we've come to call the four horsemen of the apocalypse: the white horse of conquest, the red horse of war, the black horse of famine, and the pale horse of death. And these four horsemen have been riding throughout history in an ongoing cycle of bloodshed and misery. Conquest, war, famine, and death, on and on. And we see this is very obvious on a very large international scale. But it's also true on a very personal level. Someone wrongs me, that's conquest. So I seek retribution, I make war. Relationships suffer and die, famine and death. So on and on we go. You hurt me, so I hurt you back. But now I've hurt you, so you need to hurt me back. But I can't let you get away with that. And so this cycle of so-called justice just spins out of control. So into this mess steps a man with a radical new message. Love your enemies. Do good to those that hate you. Bless those that curse you. This worldly system is an unending cycle of agony, and Christ steps into that to show us a way out and to bring healing. Because it was never supposed to be this way. Beginning at creation, when out of love, God created the world. God created the universe in perfect harmony and peace. It's interesting, other ancient religions formed around the time of Judaism or Christianity also have creation accounts, many of them similar to ours in many ways. But the striking difference is those accounts show the universe being born out of conflict and anger. There's violence. God's fighting against each other. God's using creation as weapons to get at each other and to gain superiority. So other religions, their vision of this world, or their idea of how this world came to be, is a world born out of violence. Our faith is unique in seeing a creation that is born out of love and out of unity in the Godhead, and with its creator saying every step of the way, it is good, it is very good. We know that God had an enemy that came in and disrupted what was good. But when God's beautiful creation was tarnished, rather than lashing out as other gods would, God offers himself as the solution. I'm going to read more of the passage from 1 Peter. It gives a little more context. I'll be reading now verses 19 through 25 of 1 Peter 2. For this is a gracious thing, when mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sin in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Sin infects our world like a virus. It's an illness, in a sense. And Christ came to bring healing to our world and to us. As he hung on the cross, his wounds were not so much from the nails as they were from our own sins. He took our sins into his body and he bled pardon. Some would teach that on the cross, Christ absorbed the wrath of an angry God. I've come to look at it differently than that. And the Eastern Orthodox Christian tradition has always held that Christ came as a healer, not as a lawyer, as more Western theology tends to put it or view it, but Christ comes as a doctor, as a healer, to heal our wounds. So rather than absorbing the wrath of an angry God, God himself hung there and allowed himself to be pierced by our sins. And from those wounds, he bleeds pardon. As the Roman soldier shoved his spear into the side of Christ, it pierced his heart. It laid open the heart of God, and from that wound flowed blood and water. Blood as a symbol of justice, water as a symbol of cleansing and healing. And this is the wound that heals the world. Following the resurrection, John writes in his gospel, "On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then his disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld.'" I think we could call this passage the Great Commission according to John. We are called in this passage to carry on the mission of Christ. Christ said, "As the Father sent me, even so I am sending you." And how did the Father send Christ? The Father sent him that through his wounds he would bring healing. And so this morning, if there's a personal injustice nagging at you, something that's been done against you, I'd invite you to carry that to the cross and to place it in the wounded side of Christ and let go of your need for retribution and let the blood of Christ bring you healing. And then from there, would you go and carry out the mission of Christ? Wherever you go and find injustice, would you let your own wounds bring healing? Because our mission is to carry out that healing, the healing from the wound that heals the world. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I simply ask you, or I thank you, first of all, for the healing that you offer each of us. help us to understand that our effectiveness as followers of Christ depends on us first receiving that healing. And then help us to be faithful in carrying out the mission you've entrusted us with. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen.